Back when my husband and I lived in Berkeley, California, very soon after we had adopted our dog, Remy, we received some devastating news. It knocked the wind out of us on the way home from a party, and we had no idea what to say to one another. I just remember being so filled with dread and grief that all we could do was lie on the floor in silence. We didn't even turn on the light or take off our shoes. We just lay down on the carpet. And our dog, our new addition to the family, a rescue who was still learning to trust us, got up and lay down right between us. I remember being so surprised by how comforting her warm, furry body was. She was a light in the darkness to us in that moment. She didn't need to understand why we were in shock. She didn't need to say anything. In fact, it was probably better that she couldn't, didn't know how. She had no idea what her presence meant to us in that moment. She was just dog. And that was all we needed her to be. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Every life of faith has moments of darkness, distance, despair. Even the lives of giants like C.S. Lewis, one of the great Christian apologists of the last century. His writings on faith have been a beacon for so many, as well as his children's series, The Chronicles of Narnia. Lewis himself went through a period of atheism as a young man. He only returned to Christianity in his 30s, persuaded by none other than his good friend, J.R.R. Tolkien, author of Lord of the Rings. He wrote in the moment of his surrender to God and faith that he was the most dejected and reluctant convert in England. Lewis writes about faith by writing about grief, about struggle, about doubt and temptation. His work is all the stronger, all the more compelling, because he has known the absence of faith, and because he has walked in the darkness of grief after the loss of his wife. The quote that I think a lot about from C.S. Lewis, the one that's carved into his gravesite, goes like this: "I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." Christ is the light that illuminates everything worth seeing. When we look for God's love through God's love, when we view the world in the light of the risen sun, we can see kindness and hope where it might otherwise escape our gaze. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Our gospel today draws from Isaiah's promises. This passage begins right after John the Baptist's arrest. In the midst of that disappointment, confusion, and fear, Jesus enters the community of Capernaum, a land under foreign occupation. It is into that darkness that the light has come to shine. One of my favorite podcasts, Heavyweight, is all about helping people reconcile with their pasts. One of their shorter episodes recently was about a man named Cody. Cody reached out to the show's producers to help him find a person who had given him one single hug many years ago. A hug, he says, changed his life. See, Cody lost his mother suddenly when he was just 17, and his family fell apart in the wake of her death. He was lonely and isolated in his grief, just numbly going through the motions, when his new football coach took him aside. And Coach Walling said nothing, just gave Cody a hug. A real hug, like the hugs only his mom had ever given him, warm and full of care, hugging with all his heart. It was exactly what Cody needed without knowing it. And the coach, he changed jobs shortly after, and Cody never heard from him again. But ever since that hug, Cody said he became a guy who hugs. Hugs became central to how Cody loves. And he wanted Coach Walling to know how much it had meant to him. So they got them on the phone, right, on this show. And it turned out Coach Walling remembered that hug, too. Turns out he had just lost his mom that year as well. And he hadn't known what to say to the kid in the midst of his own grief. So he just hugged him. That's what he did. He just hugged him. And after that day, Coach Walling said something changed inside him as well. It was easier from then on for him to share raw emotion with other men, to hug. Turns out this young man and this older man, they found each other in similar darkness. And in that moment became each other's light. A light that would illuminate the rest of their lives and the way they loved. An atheist can bring a word of faith, even when they do not believe. A depressed person can spark joy, even when they cannot feel it themselves. Someone can be a light to others, even when they cannot see their own light themselves. When my grandfather was dying, my family gathered around his deathbed. My cousins brought their toddlers, and my sister brought her son, who had just started to walk. Those little kids were a light to our family as we grieved. See, even as our patriarch was leaving us, the messy chaos of those little kids playing on the floor helped us to see and have faith that our family was continuing on. You have been a light to someone, sometime, even if you did not know it. You were the hands and feet of God to someone, even when you could not find faith in yourself. You were a reason someone smiled even before you knew how to smile yourself. So my question for you today is this. Who was a light to you in a dark moment? Take a moment now to think and remember. Who was a light to you in a dark moment? My challenge for you today is to let them know. Tell them about it. Maybe they remember, maybe they don't. Tell them. Maybe they never knew how much it mattered to you. Tell them. Maybe they have already left this life. Tell them anyway, however you know how. We are each given the light of Christ at our baptism. And of course, for infant baptisms, we hand the lit candle to the parents, not the baby. And there's always this awkward moment when the parents aren't sure whether to blow the candle out. And I want to tell them in that moment, I want to tell them that what they've just promised, to raise their children in Christian community and in the life of faith, it doesn't mean that their candle won't ever get blown out. Because it will, sometimes. There will be darkness. I want them to know that. I want them to know, too, that behind me, right next to our ombre, is a candle that stays lit day and night. Even when no one is here to see it, it stays lit. The Altar Guild makes sure of it. That candle tells us that we can find the light of Christ again here at the altar and in one another. Coming together in community, that's the best chance we have to be relit. It's where we learn to relight others too. The light will shine again. It may already be shining from you onto others in a way you cannot see. And I mean it about telling that person, even if they're actually a dog, even if it's just a quick text during the offertory or a hug at the peace. Amen.